David Hawkins is editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column, covered Congress forever at CQ since 1995, which is forever. David Hawkins, always wonderful to have you with us. We love you.
Thanks so much, Alan.
Okay, let's start talking about the reaction to the elections, which scared the hell out of so many Republicans because it looked like an anti-Trump wave. What do you make of that?
Well, it was an anti-Trump wave. You know, I suppose the first thing to do is get the big cliche out of the way, which is, you know, the old cliche is a year is a lifetime in politics, or a week is a lifetime in politics. This is a whole year away. Many, many things can happen. It could get worse. It could get better. But that having been said, the Democrats scored big in all kinds of different races. Most people are talking about New Jersey governor, which was a slam dunk. Most people are really talking about the Virginia governor, which was a bigger deal. To me, the most important result of all were the Virginia House of Delegates. 17 seats switching hands in a 100-member legislature is a pretty big deal. The election results also just by themselves, whether they're a trend or not, put a couple of new congressional districts more deeply into play. So, yeah, it was a big night for the big showing for the Democrats. And whether but how much of it was directly about Trump and how much not, I think we're not entirely sure. All the exit polls say that a bunch of people were making their vote about Trump.
Okay. You said something that I found interesting, in which is the number of shifts in the House of Delegates, 17 seats. That's a lot of people. What was the state of the gerrymander from the Republicans in Virginia? In other words, if you have 17 in a fair elections, okay, that's a lot. But if they were gerrymandered to begin with, that's really quite something.
It was the Republicans who ran the redrawing of the Virginia map 10 years ago. So I assume that that the Virginia House of Delegates map was designed to favor Republicans as much as possible. So, yes, I think it was a big deal. It's also the case. So let me just focus in. I know people listening to this are in the Northeast, but imagine the hump at the top of Virginia just west of Washington. That's called Loudoun County, one of the fastest growing counties in the country. 2 years ago, when Ed Gillespie, the guy who lost for governor, ran for the Senate and almost scored a huge upset, he actually carried Loudoun County, this big, burgeoning, growing suburb just west of Washington. Last week, he lost it by 20,000 votes, and or about 20 points, and seven of those state reps whose seats switched to the Democrats were from that part of the state. So it's a sign that suburban, you know, the growing multi-ethnic suburban parts of the country are really revolting against Trump more than anything else.
Well, that's quite a change considering where these, we're not talking about 20 years. We're talking about a relatively short time before this change occurred.
Right, occurred.
Thanks for pointing that out, David Hawkins of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call. So one of the things I wanted to tell everybody is what I get in the mail. You've been very kind to me. You've been sending me the Roll Call bulletins. How do people get that?
Oh, well, anybody can sign up. Roll Call is for free. You can just go to rollcall.com and you can sign up for all kinds of different newsletters, including a new one that's called At the Races if you're really a political junkie, or there's morning headlines. There's lots of different ways to get Roll Call, or you can just Google your favorite topic and ask for the Roll Call version of that story and it'll come up.
That's great. Okay, so now everybody's talking taxes. What do you make of the tax bill? It seems to me to be so confusing. You got a Republican bill, you got a Democratic bill, you're going to have a conference committee, you have the President of the United States checking in and say what he likes and doesn't like in all of this. What do you make of it?
Well, what I make of it is that I have to say that in the last few days, I have gone from being quite bearish to about the chances of this thing becoming law by the end of the year to more than 50% bullish. I think it's that the odds are better than not that something that would qualify as a big tax overhaul and a big tax cut is going to become law by the end of the year. You know, they say a conference committee. That's something you study in civics. That hardly ever happens in Congress anymore, but it looks like it might actually happen this time. What that means is the House is they're going to pass their version of the tax bill. They only can allow, no Democrats are going to vote for it. That means no more than about 22 Republicans can defect. The Republicans are confident they're going to hold that number way below that. So the House is going to pass its bill. The Senate has also run by the Republicans, has a pretty different bill. In the big scheme of things, it's the same. It's a tax. It involves cutting taxes by $1.5 trillion, $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years, and simplifying the tax code does it in a different way. They're looking to pass their bill soon after Thanksgiving. That will leave them about 3 weeks to negotiate a deal. There seems to be increasingly the political imperative to get this done by the end of the year and to give Donald Trump one big signature legislative victory before the end of the year seems to be overriding virtually anything else. The differences between how senators and House members would do this, the pressures of the lobbying groups, all of that seems to be overtaken by the political force to get something done.
But it's clear, David Hawkins of Congressional Quarterly and Roll Call, it is clear that the members of the Senate, the establishment members of the Senate, just don't like Donald Trump. So on the one hand, they want to get him his victory. On the other hand, they don't like him. How do we reconcile that?
Well, they want to get him his victory, which is their own victory. I mean, they view, and I think I've probably said this to you before, they view him as a useful engine. That's that Donald Trump helped them get what they want, and they want a tax cut as much as he does. And they also want to show the voters next year that they are, that unified Republican government has meant something. Especially since changes to the health care law are really unlikely to happen, the kind of changes that Republicans want, this becomes the best thing they got going by far.
Well, now, the lobbyists, they live over there at K Street, much like rats. They come pouring out of trying to get fed out of the building. And they are obviously scared to death that some of the things that they have achieved over the years are going to disappear when this new tax bill comes out. So how are you guys monitoring the lobbyists?
Well, it is hard to monitor the lobbyists because they are. I mean, the rat analogy is an interesting one. a tax bill affects everybody. You know, healthcare only affected only 1/6 of the economy. The tax bill involves every conceivable special interest. You and me and all the people. The radio hosts of America and congressional correspondents of America. Our income, our homeownership status, our state and local tax status, what we write off, what we deduct, whether we send our kids to school or paying, everything, every American. So every lobbyist has got an eye on this fight and is trying to have a hand in this fight. So it's hard to keep track of them all, but it does seem like more of them than not are being held at bay. I mean, remember that most of the big trade associations, the homeowners lobby and the home builders lobby, for example, a huge beneficiary of Republican campaign cash. They're very wary of this because they feel like if your ability to deduct the mortgage, the interest on your mortgage goes away or is even curbed, that's going to crush home building. So they're quite skeptical. But at the moment, the Republicans are keeping more of these lobbyists at bay than not.
We are talking to the great David Hawkins of Congressional Quarterly and author of the Hawkins Here blog and column. David Hawkins, when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you to draw me some comparisons between Senator Menendez and would-be Senator Roy Moore.